Always so thankful for this opportunity to be able to study God's Word with you, and I just look forward to the young man time we get to have where our young guys come up here and they do such a great job of leading us in worship together, and also, of course, enjoy being able to study God's Word with you all tonight. And tonight we'll be in Daniel chapter 1, if you'll turn there with me this evening, and most of our lesson tonight together will take place in Daniel chapter 1 as well. Whenever you have somebody who's about to go out to sea for the first time, maybe they took a job as a fisherman for somebody out in the ocean, maybe they become a sailor in the Navy, but whatever reason it might be, when they go out to sea for the first time, they don't have what they call their sea legs yet. But the thing about getting sea legs as a sailor is there's no way you can practice, there's nothing you can ever do on land. The only way a sailor can ever get their sea legs is to stand up on a boat in the middle of the ocean with waters moving that boat from side to side. There is no practice, there's no preparation you can do, and you can only prepare and you can only get better by making your stand for the first time in the middle of the water. After somebody becomes a sailor for a very long time, they're often going to be called a sea dog by those who are around them. And as you see on the video board, that's an old phrase that goes back to how dogs, if they go in the ocean for a long time, they're able to maintain and keep their balance no matter what the waves around them might do. But again, the thing is to be able to maintain your footing and to make your footing stronger, you have to take the first step and you have to take a stand. In Daniel chapter 1, we're given an account that takes place in the very beginning, the very start of Daniel's life. And the chapter we have there is he is a young man. And this account we're going to have is going to have four young men we're very familiar with, and we'll talk about them as we talk about this chapter together. Daniel chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord handed Jehoiakim, king of Judah, over to him, along with some of the vessels of the house of God, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king told Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles." So as we set the scene here for what takes place in our account, we have Daniel chapter 1. The Israelites, as they tend to do time and time again, have forsaken God, forgetting about God in the exodus from their captivity in Egypt, forgetting about all God has done for them by leading them to the promised land, by blessing them, by being with them. This is another time in the history of Israel that they have forsaken God. And because they now desire to be a part of this world and live in this world, God has now allowed Babylon to take them over, to fulfill their desires of living their life without the God of Israel, the one true living God, the God we worship together tonight. They left him behind. They want to be a part of this world. And as we see all this is taking place here, we also see that these actions and the sins of Israel have consequences, because not only are the adults, those who should know better, those who have seen the glory of God, not only are they the ones who are sinning to turn their back on God, but now also the consequences of their sin, the consequences of their actions, mean that all the young people in the nation of Israel will grow up in this captivity under Babylon. And then we move on to verses 4 through 7. Talking about who King Nebuchadnezzar wants, the Bible says, beginning in verse 4, "Youths in whom there is no impairment, who are good-looking, suitable for instruction in every kind of expertise, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability to serve in the king's court. And he ordered Ashpenaz to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king also allotted for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, in order that they be educated for 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now among them from the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them. And to Daniel he assigned the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. Those four names, of course, for anybody who's been in a Bible class growing up, we already know what happens later in the lives of Daniel, and also what happens just a couple of chapters away for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But here it's important to pause for a moment, and as we continue throughout the rest of this account together, we want to remind ourselves how old these four young men were in Daniel chapter 1. And while it's impossible to give an exact date, they would all be between 15 and 18 years old when they take their stand and when they work on keeping their footing and not letting the storms of their life shake them. Between 15 and 18 years old, the age of almost our entire teen class we have here at Beach Hill, they stood up for God when nobody else around them was. We see here that this ability to join this class was not something that you really aspired to do, because we're reminded that Israel at this time were captive, and that means that these children who were taken to be trained to be in the king's court were also in captivity as well. This was against their will. And not only that, but instead of being able to study about God and about the old law and so forth, they're now having to study about the literature and the culture of another nation, a nation who does not worship the one true living God and instead idolizes false gods they have created. And for 3 years, the king forces them to be a part of this. And as you read, he even goes so far as to change their names. And when it comes to my name, I don't know why I've always loved Winston. I always like the way it sounded. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm very happy it's my name, and I'm proud of it because it's who I am. And also, I don't know hardly any other Winstons. That's pretty cool, too. I've always loved my name. I appreciate whenever I hear it because it's so unique. I know I'm being talked to or I'm being talked about. So I love my name. But whenever the king changes their name, it's not simply changing what they're called. He's taking away the meaning behind their name, meanings they are proud of. As we know, Daniel, his name was going to be changed to Belteshazzar. Daniel means Yahweh, which is the Hebrew name for God. Yahweh is my judge, or God is my judge. And how powerful of a meaning of a name that is. But instead, Belteshazzar means Baal, a pagan god, protects his life. Hananiah means God hath been gracious, but Shadrach means the command of Aku, the moon god. Mishael means who is what is, and I love his name because it reminds us of what Yahweh means. I am who I am, what God told Moses his name was, what he told all humanity his name was. Whenever he tells them at the burning bush that I am who I am, he has never changed, nor will he ever will change. And so his name is saying the I am is who he is. He's never going to change. And then his name is changed to Meshach, which means who is this? Mocking and making fun of his name and what it stood for. Then Azariah means God or Yahweh has helped me. And Abednego means servant of the god Nabu. So you talk about being here by yourself between 15 and 18 years old, taken away from what you have known, what you've grown up knowing, put into this terrible situation, and these names that mean these incredible statements, that mean these incredible things about your faith and about your God, are taken away from them, and they're replaced with these names that mock their God and mock their culture and their family and who they are. And that's how the account of these four men begin for us. So we're going to look tonight at how do they respond at this? Did they give in? How do they stand out if they chose to do so? We're also think about how easy it would have been to be able to give in at this young age, seeing the storms around them, and they're just trying to keep their footing. But we see in verse 8 of Daniel chapter 1 why Daniel was able to maintain his balance, despite the shakiness and the chaos of the world around him. Because the Bible says in verse 8, but Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. The American Standard there says Daniel made up his mind. The ESV says that he has resolved. And the King James Version says he has purposed in his heart. Daniel, as a teenager, has made up his mind that his love and devotion for God would not be overshadowed by the situation he is in. As we know, historically, the food the king would have been serving would have been one or two things. First off, it could have been unclean, simply because in the old covenant they could not eat certain animals. But also, if the food was sacrificed to idols, which almost all the meat was in that culture, the Israelites could still not eat that food. And Daniel knew that if he chose to eat that food, he would in turn defile himself in the old law. He would defile himself before the sight of God and his commandments. And Daniel made up his mind. He set his heart. He resolved within himself and he said, I will not defile myself. We talked about, right, the only way you can get your sea legs is standing up. This is Daniel taking his stand. When the storm of this situation is going on around him and his life is rocking and everything has changed, he has stood up. But what we see for him applies to us for day, because if we choose to stand up, God's going to help us find our footing. So we read as we go throughout here. In verse 9, now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. And again, you think about how easy it would have been for these young men just to give in. They see what Israel has become. They see the situation they've been put in because of the consequences of the sins of those above them, those older than them. They could have just gave up. But instead, we see that he stood, he made up his mind in his heart, and God was with him. And today we understand that this world expects us to fail. It expects us to find difficulty. We're also reminded what the Bible tells us about our Christian life in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. Because there the Bible says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So we make that decision to take a stand, and we look at this world and we say, I will not be a part of the sinful things in this world. I will not be a part of what this world wants me to be, because I've set in my heart, I've made up my mind, I've resolved within myself, I do not want to be a part of that. I want to be different. I want to be transformed. And I want to be renewed every single day. And as God found favor in Daniel, we take peace in knowing that God will also find favor in us as well. And compassion as he looks at us living our lives for him. As we continue on in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 10, the Bible says, and the commander of the officials said to Daniel, I am afraid of my lord the king, who has appointed your food and your drink, for why should he see your faces looking more haggard than the youths who are your own age? Then you would make me forfeit my head to the king. But Daniel said to the overseer, whom the commander of the officials had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days, and let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be observed in your presence, and the appearance of the youths who are eating the king's choice food, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So Daniel here is saying, we do not have to have this king's meat, because he knew he was going to defile himself. We do not want to partake of the king's wine. Instead, all we want are vegetables and water. And then he says at the end there, and after 10 days, come back and look at us, and I'll let you decide what you want to do based on our choice to not eat the king's food. And common sense tells us, right, if you give 10 or everybody else 10 days worth of food, that's going to be full of protein and all these things the meat will give you and so forth, you would think that, yeah, they would look stronger, somebody nothing but vegetables. But because God had found favor and because of what they were doing by making that statement, not defiling themselves, living for God, and that decision, we then see what happens in verses 15 through 16. At the end of the 10 days, their appearance seemed better and they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice food. So the overseer continued to withhold their choice food and the wine they were to drink and kept giving them vegetables. And the word fatter there means that they looked stronger. They looked like they had more strength in their body. But we also understand what has happened here. This is not showing us the perfect diet. This is showing us people who are willing to forfeit this treat, this gift the king has offered them for being a part of this class. We can train them up in their way. They forfeited the one reward they kind of get for being a part of this class because they do not want to defile themselves before their God. And Daniel stood up. In the face of all this adversity, in the face of the king himself and his commander, Daniel stood up because he had faith in God. And God blessed Daniel. God gave Daniel the sustenance he needed to not only be able to maintain and live, but also to become stronger than every other youth that was there. Because Daniel stood up, God helped him find his footing. As we continue on here, we see in verse 17, as for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. And then closing out the chapter here in verses 18 through 21, then at the end of the day, which the king had specified for presenting them, the commander of the officials presented them before Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and out of them all, not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service. As for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in all his realm. And Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. When I read these verses, I think about all the young people. And we're so blessed here with young people at Beach Hill, but also all the young Christians in this world, whether it be in this area or in this country, or throughout this world, somewhere else. But I think about what they're able to do because they have chosen to stand for God, and God has helped them find and keep their footing. Because we see here what God's been able to do with these four men. And verse 19 says, and out of them all, of every single youth of Israel brought in, not one of them were found to be like these four young men. And so it begs the question, was it these men that made them different? Or was it the glory and the mercy and the love of God exemplified and shining in their lives that made them different? They are harder workers because of their faith in God. They talk to people different because of their faith in God. We think about what that means for us today because we take peace in the fact that when the world views our youth, or us as adults, none in this world are like us. Not because we make ourselves different, but because the blood of Jesus makes us different through our salvation and our burial with Jesus and our resurrection in Him and through Him. When I said the names at the beginning of our study tonight, I ask you to remind yourself that they were only 15 to 18 years old. We also take peace in knowing that this faith and their footing was not shaken. Because we know what ended up happening to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3. Later in their life, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were put into a fiery furnace because they refused to bow to the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had made. And he brings them in and he warns them, either you bow to this golden image as you're commanded to do, or he warns them, I will put you in the fiery furnace. But early in their life, as a young man, they took a stand. They secured their footing, and God was going to keep that footing even in this terrible situation. And you can see the strength, and as they stand up again in Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 through 18, because they responded to the king, "If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Just like Daniel chapter 1, they had resolved in their heart, and they had made up their mind from a young age. By taking that stand in who God is and what he can do, they will not defile themselves. And when that decision is made, it can continue on through our faith and obedience in God. And again here, in front of the king, with the threat of death, they still stood up, and God had them keep their footing. And as we know from this account, as he opened the furnace doors, those who opened it up were killed by the fire because it was so hot. But whenever Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were put in there, we are told that a fourth person was with them, like the image of the Son of God, and God took them through the fire of the furnace inside of this huge oven. And they were able to walk out of it unscathed and completely unharmed. Why? Because they stood up for God, and God had them keep their footing. And then again, as we know later on, we have Daniel, who is put in the lion's den. And so many times in our Bible classes or pictures you might see online that show us this, Daniel is a pretty young man. But Daniel goes to the lion's den at around 80 years old. At between 80 and 90 years old, the same Daniel who said in chapter 1, "I will not defile myself," is the same Daniel who was keeping that stance, who was maintaining that footing, because even in the face of the lions in the den, he had faith that the one true living God was his God. And again, God had favor and compassion in Daniel. And just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel also comes out of the lion's den completely unharmed. And we have these accounts given to us. We think about what that means for all of us. Whether we're a young person taking our stand now by becoming Christians and putting on Jesus Christ in our baptism, by having our sins washed away, or if we're older people. And we look back in our life and we understand there are times we should have stood, but we didn't. But also those times that we did stand up in the face of adversity, that we did make the choice to stand up with the storms rocking our feet and our footing being moved around us. And because we stood up, God has found favor in us, and he has blessed us, and he has made us able to stand up even to this very day. How are we able to maintain our footing? Well, first off, we know 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. The Bible says, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it." And an easy misconception to get from this verse is that God will never be tempted in this life because of sin, and things we cannot overcome. We don't have to rely on our own strength. The Bible doesn't say you can do it on your own. Instead, it tells us that God, wanting to pull us out of temptation of the sin of this world, gives us our escape. So the first thing we know, the first reason we can maintain our footing, is because we understand we're able to be successful. We're able to get through trials, not because we are who we are, but because God allows us to be the people we're able to be through him. Then lastly, we read in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect results, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Outside of the body, there's no possible way anybody would ever come to the conclusion to consider it joy when you encounter various trials. But as Christians, we're not just given this as a suggestion. This is showing us how we view temptation, how we view challenges, and how we view our values. Because we know who God is through His Word. How He loves us, how what all He's given to us, the mercy He has for us, the grace He has for our mistakes. We know that He causes no temptation, but instead He wants to give us an escape out, the temptation, the trials of the world. And we know this, that whenever we encounter various trials and temptations, we've taken our stand, and God's going to help us keep our footing. The first way you take a stand is by submitting yourself to the blood of Jesus Christ and becoming a Christian. And knowing that this world is too difficult to navigate on your own, knowing that this world is too dangerous, it's too sad, and that this world is not designed for you to have to face by yourself. But instead, God, through His love and through His mercy, sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to take your sins away through our baptism. And you can become a Christian, taking a stand to this world through what Jesus Christ has done for you in the waters of baptism. Picking up your cross daily and following Him, living the Christian life that Jesus Christ died so you could live. While there are times in our life whenever our ground becomes shaken, we're unable to keep our footing because we fail ourselves. We have to rely on God to pick us back up and regain that footing, to take our stance again. And we are thankful to know that the merciful God we worship is a God who's willing to pick us back up through prayer and through repentance to maintain our footing once more. If you want to put on Jesus Christ tonight in baptism, there's no better night to do so than right now. The prayers of the congregation, for any means whatsoever, please come now as we stand and as we sing.